Have you ever wanted to play the perfect tabletop game, where story beats run smoothly, and there's no awkward pauses between dice rolls? Yeah, me too. But since that's impossible, I did the next best thing, and novelized my Witcher tabletop game to showcase the story in its cleanest form. The result is this podcast. I'm Jacob Gerstel, and this is Tales from the Witcher. Part audiobook, part actual play, part serialized adventure, and a whole new way to vicariously enjoy tabletop games. Welcome to the world of The Witcher, where monsters roam freely and the continent is once again at war. If you were hoping to follow the plight of Geralt of Rivia, however, I'm not going to be doing that. Instead, I offer you the story of a not-so-merry band of degenerates who are making their way across the continent. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. The Cleaner Way. 9. You need what? Stelduo put down the earthenware cup he was cleaning. And why? Jeremiah sighed and rubbed his brow.
2 barrels of vodka. To lure a rock troll.
Lure him into what? A drunken stupor, most like, Cedra said. She crooked a thumb at Zevo and Ethramel, who were standing near the tavern's entrance and looking very out of place. Ask the Witcher if you want. I'm taking his word for it. Well, Steldwell said, I can sell you 2 barrels, I suppose. Come to the back. Jeremiah and Cedra followed the barkeep into the storage room, where a half-dozen barrels were stacked on top of each other. Steldwell hauled the closest 2 out.
Mind if we give it a sample? Jeremiah asked, rubbing his hands.
It's the cheap stuff. I'm not wasting Mahakam vodka on a rock troll. How much? Cedra asked, leaning a little closer to Steldwell. Steldwell did his best to keep his eyes from wandering. He coughed and turned his head. Because you're helping us, I'll let them both go for 50 marks. That's a steal. I'll say. Cedra brightened and clapped her hands together. I'll take it out of your final pay.
That's all right.
Jeremiah fished into his bag for 50 marks.
I'll cover it.
Steldwell shrugged and took the coins. Suit yourself. Why the sudden generosity, Jeremiah? Cedra asked as they returned to the bar.
Because it's an investment. And leverage in case the Witcher or Elf decide to cheat us, Jeremiah thought, but said, Just easier. We'll figure out the rest later.
Cedra snapped at Zevo and Ethramel and said, Come on now, those barrels aren't going to haul themselves. Zevo took a barrel, and Rormir and Albom took the other. They followed the path back to the mouth of the cave. As they placed the barrels on the dusty ground, Zevo sighed and said,
All right, listen. There's likely to be Neckers in the cave. If there are... Stick together and don't let them surround you. As for the rock troll, well, they're dumb. Like, child dumb. We're going to try to talk to it to avoid a fight. But if that doesn't work, be sure to attack its front. Preferably the belly. Do you understand?
Witcher acts like we don't know how to fight, Romeard said to Albom. Zevo fixed his one eye on the soldier and stepped closer.
You ever fight Neckers? Know what it's like to see them skittering around you? Slashing with their claws, biting with their teeth. Ever come face to face with a rock troll twice your size, who could crush you with a single fist?
No. Then shut up and fall in line. Zevo turned away and drew his sword, walking into the cave. Follow me. Jeremiah gripped his craftsman's hammer, big enough to use with 2 hands, but no one could confuse it for a weapon of war. He fell in behind the Witcher, next to Ethramel. Romeard and Albom took the back. Their swords drawn. The sun was on its way down, but there was enough light to see into the cave. Sharpened stalactites and jagged rocks jutted from the walls on both sides of them. They walked down a narrow corridor, hearing the flutter and chirp of bats, and the chittering of small creatures, neither human nor animal. The corridor terminated into a large, round room, and in it were piles of bones, strangely arranged, and 6 small creatures. Jeremiah had heard what Neckers looked like, but he wasn't prepared for what he saw. They stood no more than 4 feet tall and had sickly green skin and emaciated, gangly chests and limbs. Their bright red eyes turned towards the corridor all at once, and they bared yellowed fangs. The Neckers moved in tandem, and with exceptional speed.
Fuck, Zevo muttered, raising his silver sword. Two Neckers hugged the left side of the corridor towards Jeremiah. He shifted his weight and readied his hammer, ready to strike low. But the first Necker jumped and landed at Jeremiah's side. The Necker's claws were razor sharp, and it would have taken Jeremiah's leg if he didn't pivot at the last moment. But luck was on the craftsman's side, and it merely shredded his padded trousers. Jeremiah felt his leg grow damp, and he was glad it was blood. Bleeding during a battle was understandable. Urinating during a battle was embarrassing. The second Necker went low, slashing up at Jeremiah. He took a step back, and the Necker clawed air. Jeremiah raised his hammer to strike the Necker's bald pate, but the clang of steel on his right distracted him. Romeard rushed towards his target, sword drawn, but stumbled at the final moment and hit the ground hard. Blood burst from his split chin, and Jeremiah lost all confidence in Lady Sibilia's personal guard. Romeard proved an excellent distraction to the Necker, however, and Jeremiah's hammer hit home. He felt bone give way, and the Necker stumbled back, but did not lose its balance. Jeremiah had no time to follow up, as the second Necker opened its mouth and lunged at Jeremiah. He held out his hammer and pushed the Necker away with its handle. Jeremiah stepped back and heard the din of battle, namely Zevo's grunts, Ethermel's curses and elder speech, and Necker's shrieks. Then more cling-clang, as Albom rushed over to help his companion to his feet. Jeremiah stepped towards them, figuring they'd either help or be a useful shield if things got hairy. His leg only now started to throb, and he could feel the dull tendrils of pain grasping at the wound's edge. The two Neckers formed up and hissed at the three. Jeremiah took a deep breath and readied his hammer. The Witcher moved before Jeremiah exhaled. In a flash, he beheaded one Necker, danced to the next, and gutted it like a shark. And then it was over. Jeremiah's vision widened, his breathing and hearing lost its focus, and pain gripped his leg. "You good?" Zevo asked. "I think so," Romeard said, sopping blood from his chin. "I meant the craftsman." "Fuck no," Jeremiah thought, but nodded and said, "Right as rainwater. Let's bring those barrels in. I'd say we've earned a drink."
10. The cave was empty. Another small corridor on the left ended in a smaller, circular room. A bonfire's corpse adorned the center, and a large pile of straw, large enough for a troll, Zevo thought, was piled on one side. A few crude images were carved into the wall, depicting what looked, in Zevo's professional opinion, to be a troll doing things trolls like best, eating and pissing. There were bones scattered around the room. Zevo picked one up and smelled it. "Animal," he thought. "Likely deer." "It's safe," he told the group, returning to the Necker's room. His companions were gathered near the barrels the guards hauled in. Only Jeremiah sat. "No troll."
"Excellent. Let's look around, then, after we've had a celebratory drink."
Ethermel's hand wandered towards the top of the barrel. "No," Zevo said. "We wait until the troll returns." Ethermel frowned.
"Oh, come on. We've just survived a vicious assault from Neckers. If that doesn't warrant a drink, I don't know what does."
"You know," Cedra said, "he has a point. We could have died. And what's more life-affirming than drinking?"
"I agree," Jeremiah said.
"The only thing more life-affirming is surviving a troll attack, which is much less likely if we drink his vodka and dull our senses."
"No fun," Ethermel muttered.
"No fun at all," echoed Cedra.
"I can think of a few people who are more fun," Jeremiah added.
"Shut up. Leave if you want to drink so badly. I'm staying until the troll arrives."
Ethermel walked towards the troll's room.
"I'm not going anywhere. How often does one get to meet something as strong as a bull and dumb as a child? Other than you, of course."
Zevo grunted and pulled a dagger from his boot. He set about on the Neckers. Sigurd taught him to never let anything go to waste. It was bloody work, but it paid. By the time he was done and richer in Necker teeth and livers, the sun had nearly set. "He may want to rest before going back out to rob," Zevo thought. He was prepared to wait for as long as it took. He rolled the vial of Ogrod oil he'd concocted in his hands. He hoped he didn't have to drink it. They didn't wait long. The bear medallion around Zevo's neck hummed lightly. Everyone else heard the lumbering footsteps a moment later. Albom reached for his sword, but Zevo stilled his arm.
"Wait, we're going to talk to him first, remember?"
Albom nodded and sheathed his sword. The last of the sunlight shadowed the troll as he entered. He dragged a large club, just a handful of tree branches lashed together, on the ground. The club shed hibiscus leaves.
The rock troll stopped halfway down the corridor.
"Who that?"
he asked in a deep, ponderous voice. "New friends," Zevo said, doing his best to add affectation to his tone.
"What happened to Wullabog's old friends? Little bald friends?"
Zevo was happy he disposed of the bodies. "They ran away, Wullabog, but we can be your friends." "Yes," Cedra took a tentative step. "We've been waiting to meet you, Wullabog."
"Waiting for Wullabog?"
The troll scratched his prodigious belly and moved closer. He was a head and a half taller than Zevo, who himself stood over 6.5 feet. The troll's scrunched face and jutting underbite reminded Zevo of one of the boys he trained with who failed the Trial of Grasses. Zevo had long forgotten that boy's name.
"That's right," Ethramel added. "I heard about your excellent artwork and had to see for myself. You're quite the visionary."
"What's Vision Harry?"
"Have a drink, Wullabog," Zevo said, taking the top off one of the barrels. "We brought it for you." Willibog's craggy face brightened as he set his makeshift mace down. He walked over to the barrels and hoisted one up.
"To friends."
Wullabog chugged the barrel and crushed it with a satisfying sigh. Zevo didn't fancy ending up like that barrel. "How about a little music?" Cedra said. She played a few chords before anyone could answer. Wullabog laughed and clapped his hands together off rhythm.
"Where were you today, Wullabog?"
Jeremiah asked. Wullabog spat and said,
"Was out looking for rocks. Hard to find good throwing rocks. That's what Mum-Mum always said."
"Your Mum-Mum sounds wise," Zevo said. "Have some more vodka?" Wullabog nodded and drank the second barrel almost as fast as the first. Cedra continued playing, and Wullabog stamped and danced along. Wullabog yawned and stretched by the third song.
"Wullabog sleepy. Want to rest before going out tonight."
"Going out where?" Ethermel asked.
"To Humi's house. Wullabog's looking for shinies."
Zevo nodded. "Why are you looking for shinies?" Wullabog looked at Zevo like the answer was obvious.
"Because the shiny man asks Wullabog, and he gives Wullabog sheep and deer when he delivers shinies. Sometimes Humies get in the way, and Wullabog puts them to sleep. But shiny man just wants the shinies." "And where does this shiny man live?"
Jeremiah asked. Wullabog gave the craftsman a similar look.
"In the big shiny house, of course."
Vermeard stole up next to Zevo and whispered, "There's only two houses in Ashford that could be considered big. One is Lord Nowak's, and the other's Lady Sibilia's," Zevo said, "and I don't think you're accusing your lady of stealing from her own home." Vermeard looked insulted. "Of course not."
"Wullabog sleepy," the rock troll said.
He lumbered over to his bed of hay. Zevo stepped forward. "Would you like a lullaby to put you to sleep?"
"Sure, like Mum-Mum used to do."
Zevo looked at Cedra with a flat expression. "Go on, like Mum-Mum used to do." Cedra played, and before long, Wullabog was snoring.
"Well," Ethermel said, "that explains why there's nothing here but animal bones."
Cedra slung her lute on her back and sighed. "Great, that means all we have to do is break into this Lord Noak's manor and get Lady Sibilia's chest. Easy."
"Let's not forget our first job."
Zevo approached the slumbering troll and drew his silver sword. Romir took a cautious step forward.
"You can't possibly..."
"Why not? You think he's going to take it well when the shiny man's work dries up? I've seen restless cave trolls, and it's not a pretty sight. Believe me, it's the cleaner way."
Romir looked to his companions, but no one backed him up. Zevo wasn't surprised. They didn't know what they were dealing with. They didn't know anything about monsters at all. They hadn't seen a pissed-off cave troll crush a tavern with a single rock. They hadn't seen shit.
Besides, Zevo thought, he's killed 5 people. He's a threat.
The Witcher told himself this as he slowly sunk his silver blade into Willibog's soft belly. Only when his sword was up to the hilt did he wrench it side to side. Willibog's eyes shot open. He tried to sit up, but his strength failed him. Blood pooled in his mouth as he looked at his friends. Then his eyes glazed over, and his head fell back. Zevo pulled the sword out and wiped off the blood and shit. Cedra left. Jeremiah and the guards followed. Only Ethermel remained, fascinated. Zevo didn't care. He sheathed his blade and pulled out his carving knife. Let the elf watch if he wanted. Sigurd taught him to never let anything go to waste. It was bloody work, but it paid. 11. For the second time in 24 hours, Cedra fought back the urge to vomit. She rushed out of the cave and pressed her hands against her thighs,
taking deep breaths. The troubadour's stomach felt like a ship in a tempest, but it calmed in time.
"Can you believe that?" Albom said, wiping his mouth with the back of his hand.
"Just fucking sick. Didn't even hesitate."
"That's 'cause he ain't human," Romeo said. "He doesn't feel. He's a mindless killer."
Sedra had heard all that before. She, like every child in Kedwin, grew up on scary tales about heartless witchers. Sedra always thought it was just a way for parents to keep their kids in line through fear. One lullaby always stuck out to her, though.
"But the witcher, brave and bold, paid in coin of gold. He'll chop and slice, you cut and dice, you eat, you up whole. Eat, you whole."
Then she grew up and traveled and heard more of the same. Witchers would kill your brother, then fuck your daughter. Having never met, let alone seen, a mutant, an exaggeration being her trade, Sedra thought the stories were embellished. She started to rethink that.
"Maybe the witcher's right," she said. "Willibog might have killed more people."
Jeremiah shrugged. Albom spat. Romeard looked Sedra in the eye and said, "He'd do the same to you if someone paid him for it." Sedra broke away from his gaze and shuffled her feet.
"Ah, fuck it," Albom said. "I'm not sticking around waiting for that mutant. You two coming with us?"
Sedra looked at Jeremiah and got no reaction. He had a real merchant's face, she thought. Didn't betray any emotions.
"Sure."
It was full dark, and the guards led the way. Sedra did not play a note. Lady Sibilia sat in her study, drink in hand. Sedra wanted a drink, but thought it'd be rude to ask, and she would need more than wine.
"The two heroes return," Sibilia said. "Did our mutant and elf perish?"
"They did not, m'lady," Sedra said, bowing. "We did, however, discover the identity of your bandit, a cave troll named Willibog." Sedra paused, waiting for the lady to say something, hoping for a small bit of praise to buoy her spirits. The lady said nothing.
"He did not have the chest," Sedra continued, "but we have a good idea where it might be."
Sedra stopped short of saying Lord Noack's name. She had learned long ago to under-promise and over-deliver, and saying that she would steal from the Lord of Ashford would, in her mind, qualify as an overpromise. Lady Sibilia sighed.
"If you don't have the chest, then there's nothing else for us to discuss. Either return with it, or don't return at all."
"I'll get you to smile yet," Sedra promised, and was glad for the thought. There was hope that the fear would pass if she could still think such things. Can't pass soon enough. Sedra bowed again.
"Of course, m'lady. Have a good evening."
Sibilia nodded, and Albom and Romeard escorted them to the front.
"Thanks for the escort," Jeremiah said, holding out his large hand. "It made all the difference."
"Don't mock us," Albom said, but shook. "You'll have to storm Lord Noack's manor without our aid. Townsfolk would ask too many questions if we were there. You know how it is."
Sedra doubted Jeremiah knew how it was, but she did. Knightly households had finicky ideas about honor and image. Ashford would tear itself apart in civil strife if one house struck another. Better to use proxies. Refugees who would do anything for coin.
"He'd do the same to you if someone paid him for it."
Sedra shivered. 12.
750 marks, Zevo muttered. Would barely even cover my armor repairs if it came to a fight. Ethramel patted the sulking Vatgern on the shoulder. They sat at a corner table in the Wolf's Head Tavern. After the Witcher finished vivisecting the poor troll, he cut off its head and brought it to Steldwyl. The barkeep gave his reward and his map to the Mahakam Mountains, and told them to throw the head away. Zevo left it in front of the tavern and bought a drink.
"Well, good thing it didn't come to that. And now we can leave this shit town. You know, before the Nilfgaardians arrive."
"Why do you care?" Zevo asked. "You used to fight for him. Wouldn't you be happy to see Nilfgaard take Edirne?"
"Ethermel wouldn't be happy seeing Dwan take over anything, regardless of their standard and colors."
"I prefer to avoid fighting. I don't know if you've noticed, but when towns are sacked, elves and dwarves are the first ones to be strung up."
"Witchers too," Zevo grunted. "I've no reason to stay any longer. I plan to.
Lady Sibilia sends her regards."
Jeremiah, he of the veined face, took a seat at their table.
"Just a regard, sad to say. No coin for our trouble."
The troubadour took the remaining empty seat. "Well, to be fair, we didn't deliver on our end. So what's the plan?"
"Plan?" Zevo said.
"Yeah, to get the chest from Lord Nowak. He's the only one who could have paid Willibog, so he's got to have the chest.
Zevo stroked his mustache and leaned back in his chair.
So let me get this straight. You want to break into the Lord of the Town's manor because you think he might have, what, some chest with armor?
Very fancy, expensive armor, Ethermel said. Let's not forget that part.
A word of advice, Zevo said. Don't meddle in political affairs.
Never meddle in human affairs was one of Ethermel Ontred's early absolute rules. It didn't hold long. He learned quickly that it's impossible to avoid humans. Even his home of Dol Blathana, last bastion of elven kind, had to politic with the round ears to survive. Often they had to.
Subserve, Ethermel thought.
The word you're thinking of is subserve. We have to bow and scrape at humans' feet to keep a scrap of what's rightfully ours. Pathetic.
The second you get involved in someone else's agenda, Zevo continued, there's no easy way to disentangle yourself. Trust me, cleaner to stay out of it.
Lady Sibylle is offering a good reward, Jeremiah said. 150 marks for each of us.
That worth losing your head over? Zevo said.
Is 750 worth getting crushed by a rock troll? Ethermel asked.
Zevo spat on the floor. I'm not getting involved. You can do what you want, but if you're smart, you'll pack up and... 10 guards entered the tavern, armed and armored. One of them, a grizzled old Dwan with a bristly mustache, stepped towards the four.
And here comes trouble, Ethermel thought, glancing at the door behind the bar.
He could get there with a few quick strides and be in the alleyway before the guards loosed their first bolt. You four are coming with us, the man, a sergeant no doubt, said.
What for? Jeremiah asked.
Murder. We found 3 bodies in a ransacked home. Heard a witcher and an elf carved them up, while a scarred man stripped them of all they had.
Have you considered it might be another group of witchers, elves, and scarred men? Ethermel said.
The sergeant didn't crack a smile. You can come with us peacefully, or we can make you follow. Your choice.
Zevo stood up in a flash.
The sergeant whistled, and one of the guards left the tavern.
Ethermel whispered, He's going to get reinforcements.
What proof do you have? Zevo said.
That the sergeant did smile at.
Proof? He wants proof, boys.
Well, let's give him proof.
Oi, come here.
The sergeant snapped, and Aaron, the mortician, entered the tavern. He didn't look anyone in the eyes.
Now Ethermel stood, fists clenched.
Another subservient elf, he thought, bowing and scraping to survive.
Esiath untraitor apterain, he told the mortician in elder speech. Tadis ni nas favrid.
Aaron looked at Ethermel, fire in his eyes. Being called a traitor to his race would do that to any elf.
Tad si wildar bol. Tied es neen survive.
You shame our people. You will not survive.
Ethermel would see about that.
He'd survived a lot, and he promised never to serve fucking Dwan again. Death was preferable.
We're going to take your weapons now, the sergeant said.
Then we're going to cuff you. Come here nice and easy, and we won't harm you.
Jeremiah went first, surrendering his hammer. Cedra sighed and followed.
Ethermel looked at Zevo. They likely couldn't win in a straight fight, but if the tavern just happened to catch fire...
Zevo unbuckled his swords and handed them to the sergeant.
I trust they'll be returned undamaged.
The sergeant nodded.
Aye, if you found innocent.
Well, so much for that, Ethermel thought. He handed the sergeant his elven falchion as the guards cuffed him behind his back.
They were paraded across town and brought to Lord Noak's manor. The guards led them to a large shed next to the house. The sergeant opened the door and revealed a staircase leading into the earth.
I wager there's a dungeon down there, Ethermel whispered to the others.
He was correct. Made of damp stone, the dungeon was little more than a single corridor flanked by a row of square cells. All the cells were empty, but the 4 were thrown into the smallest one together. There was little light, save a nearby torch that seeped through a small, barred hole in the door.
Well, they'll kill us for sure, Ethermel said after everything had settled.
He lightly kicked the stone wall.
Who wants to bet they'll draw and quarter me first?
No one answered. All 3 looked in their own heads. Ethermel sighed. The door opened not 20 minutes later. 4 guards surrounded a fat man in bright clothes and a fur ushanka. The jewels on his fingers caught the torchlight.
Jeremiah said,
I take it you're the shiny man.
You have no idea how badly you fucked everything up, Lord Noak said. He, evidently, was not one for small talk. Willibog was doing a fine job keeping the townsfolk occupied.
Zevo shrugged. Your patsy's not occupying anything anymore.
Noak's reddened face was a mask of barely contained rage. Wullabog was a convenient scapegoat for the town. It's easier to worry about a thieving rock troll than the encroaching Nilfgaardian army. "And why did you want a thieving rock troll to worry everyone in the first place?" Sedra asked, blowing a strand of hair from her face. "Because monsters keep a town compliant. They must rely on the guards to keep them safe. Without a monster to fear, the townsfolk become restless. And when townsfolk are restless, they're more likely to revolt. Or worse, sell out to the Black Cloaks to save their own skins." "So you hired a troll to attack your own people," Jeremiah said. Lord Noak scoffed. "Who do you think I directed Wullabog to rob? Those people were Nilfgaardian spies, including your Lady Sibilia. Wullabog came cheap, and he served an important purpose. Keeping the town in check, suppressing spies, and stealing their treasure for the Edernian war effort. But then you murdered him."
"If I may be so bold to ask," Ethermel said, "instead of hiring a rock troll, why didn't you just, I don't know, arrest them all as spies?"
"I could have, for some, but then Sibilia would have known. It's not easy to move openly against her, especially since her husband, Sir Henard, is a prominent knight for Prince Stennis. But I suppose it doesn't matter now. Nilfgaard is close, and I'll have to take more drastic measures to ensure Ashford can defend itself. Crucible Cowl will see you all in the morning. Enjoy your last night." Lord Noak nodded his head, and the door closed. He left, but the four guards remained outside the cell. Time passed. Ethermel debated what to do. Zevo crouched in the corner of the cell and placed one foot on his manacles. With a grunt, he stood up and pulled up his right arm. To the elf's surprise, the chain snapped. Jeremiah sat and forced his arms past his ass so his legs could slide through. With his arms now in front of him, he undid his belt buckle and pushed the prong into the keyhole. With a few twists, the manacles broke free.
"Well, fuck me," Ethermel thought.
He saw Sedra sidle over to Jeremiah, and he tried to unlock her chains, but was unsuccessful. Ethermel also sat and tried to slide his arms past his legs, but only ended up wrenching his shoulder. He stood up and debated using his last resort. Zevo looked out the small window. "Sedra," he said, "sing. Badly." Sedra nodded and began to sing. Ethermel admired how she hit every note just off key enough to amplify the annoyance. One of the guards slammed on the door.
"Stop that blathering."
"Or what?" Zevo said.
"Or I'll shut you up myself."
Sedra sang louder. Another knock.
"I said stop."
"Your mother said the same thing before I plowed her," Zevo snarled.
"Plow yourself! Open the door, boys. Cowl can have what's left of the mutant tomorrow."
Zevo positioned himself next to the door, crouched and ready to strike. Jeremiah held his manacles in one hand. Ethermel sighed. He wouldn't have to use his last resort after all. The door opened, and the guard entered with a truncheon. Zevo reached for the sword hanging on his belt. The guard jerked away, and Zevo fumbled, missing his mark. The guard screamed, and the other three came for the door. Ethermel sighed.
"Well, so much for that. Guess I'll have to."
Ethermel twisted his body, pointing his hands at the guards. He made a few gestures, muttered an elder speech, and felt the energy he drew from the air congregate down to his feet. With a deep breath, he stomped the heel of his foot into the ground. The stone floor superheated, and molten rock sprayed at the guards' heads. They screamed and covered their reddened faces. Ethermel felt a significant amount of energy rush from his body like a wave, but he didn't feel any pain. He controlled the power well. Zevo grabbed the guard's sword and sliced its throat. He set to work on the other two. It was hardly a fair fight. Jeremiah rushed the final guard, who had stumbled out of the cell and was flailing around blindly in the hallway. He wrapped his manacles around the man's throat and asked him where they were holding their weapons. The guard's eyes bulged, and he managed to mutter,
"The larder!"
Jeremiah thanked the guard and knocked him out. Sedra swore from the corner of the cell. Everything settled. Zevo found the keys and unlocked everyone's manacles. Ethermel rubbed his wrists and caught his breath. He waited for the questions to come. They usually did any time he revealed he was a sorcerer, and an elven one at that. They all stood in the hallway, no one saying anything. Jeremiah and Sedra looked uncertain. Zevo squinted his good eye at Ethermel.
"He'll be the one to ask," Ethermel thought. "Then the typical suspicions and hatred and fear will follow, as it always does. Well, go on then, ask away."
Instead, the Vatgern said, "Let's go get our weapons." 13.
"I didn't expect to see you so soon," Lady Sibilia said.
She was, once again, sitting in her chaise lounge, and was, once again, sipping wine. How many hours has it been? 5? 6? Fortunately for you, I don't sleep much. I trust you've got what I asked?
Jeremiah placed a plain oaken chest in front of the lady and opened it. An ornate set of red armor, inlaid with gold filigree to reflect the colors of Edirne, was inside. Lady Sibilia nodded, and two of her servants, the least balding one and the most balding one, hauled the chest away.
And undamaged, too. Where did you find it?
Lord Noack's manor, Cedra said, though she did not bow. In the larder, along with our weapons and all the treasure stolen by Willibog the Rock Troll. Well, all the treasure worth a penny, anyway. The four had reached Lord Noack's larder easily, and then stole away towards Lady Sibilia's manor. They were surprised to find the middle balding servant waiting for them, in the dead of night, at the servant's quarters door.
Ah, so that pig was behind it all in the end.
Sibilia looked at the crackling fire.
Did you have the honor to meet him?
Zevo grunted and crossed his arms.
Just once, Ethermel said. He had some interesting things to say about you, m'lady.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Sibilia did not turn away from the fire. Was it that I'm a Nilfgaardian spy, looking to sell out Ashford? No one spoke.
I won't deny it, the lady continued, though calling me a spy is charitable. Did our brave and gallant Lord Noack also share that Ashford doesn't have enough soldiers to repel Nilfgaard? That putting up a fight will only lead to Ashford getting sacked? Nilfgaard's invaded Edirne before, after all, and it never ends well for border towns like ours.
No, I suppose he didn't tell you all that. Well, then let me put it plainly. Ashford will fall, and soon. I simply wish to save this town.
By surrendering without a fight, Zevo said.
Lady Sibilia turned back to the four. Yes, but our people will live. There will be no killing, no burning, no raping. Nilfgaard will simply stroll through, leave a token force, and continue moving north. That will not happen if Lord Noack has his way.
Sibilia sighed. But if you four were to return to Lord Noack's manor, capture him, and bring him to me, perhaps we could resolve this whole matter tonight.
Jeremiah clenched his jaw, and he struggled to hold his tongue. How could he not? He was a Edirnian, after all. He remembered well the previous two northern wars with Nilfgaard, and how his home had suffered. But this was treason. No way around it.
I refuse, Zevo said. It's not my concern. Settle this matter yourself.
Happily, Lady Sibilia said. I've already convinced many of the garrison soldiers to throw down their arms when the time comes. It was just a thought, a way to speed up this laborious process. But if you don't wish to become entangled in our affairs, my guards can escort you out of Ashford. With your pay for the armor, of course. She surveyed the room and the silence that followed. You may want to discuss it amongst yourselves. Take your time, but not too long. Dawn is approaching.
Jeremiah looked at his companions and took a step towards the door. They all spoke softly, but knew Lady Sibilia could hear them.
This is not our concern, Zevo repeated.
Are you forgetting the part where that plowing Dwan was going to execute us? Ethermel said. Why shouldn't we turn the tables on him? He made it personal.
But the lady, Cedra said, glancing over her shoulder. She lowered her voice. She's selling out her own people, and not even giving them a choice in the matter.
It wouldn't be so bad, Ethermel said. They let people vote in Nilfgaard.
Cedra shot the elf a venomous glance. Did you learn that when you served in the Vryhead Brigade? Ethermel's eyes widened, as did Jeremiah's. He had heard stories of the infamous Vryhead Brigade, an elven cavalry unit that fought for Nilfgaard in the Second Northern War. The atrocities they committed against Northerners were too many to list.
It seems someone else understands Elder Speech, Ethermel said to Zevo, and was eavesdropping on our conversation at the bandit house.
Cedra barked laughter.
Look, Ethermel said, I don't care about this shitty little town. And Nilfgaard doesn't care about this shitty little town either. So they won't be sending their best regiments to conquer this shitty little town. They'll send their auxiliary forces, which lack officers trained in the academy. There'll be murder, plunder, and rape. We can help Ashford avoid that, and get back at that Dwan who wanted to torture and kill us.
You may be right, Jeremiah said, but this doesn't sit right with me. The thought of selling out my own country, that'd follow me for the rest of my life.
Cedra looked at her boots. I don't particularly care about this town either. I owe it nothing. I simply want to escape the fighting before it arrives. Besides, Cedra fixed an icy glare to Lady Sibilia, who was looking back at the fire. The lady clearly has it all in hand.
I will not get involved, Zevo repeated. If you decide to become entangled, meet me near the forest outside of town after, but be quick about it. I won't wait long. Zevo left. Ethermel threw up his hands.
Well, I'm not going to stick my neck out for Dwan alone.
He looked at Lady Sibilia.
Best of luck with your subterfuge, m'lady.
And best of luck being an Ansaid in the north, Lady Sibilia said with a smile. You're going to need it. Ethermel scoffed and left. Jeremiah looked at Cedra, who struggled to make eye contact with anyone. She glanced at the lady, but shook her head and left. Jeremiah of Edern hesitated, but followed. He stopped at the door, remembering Lady Sibilia's promise to show him the armor's design.
Fuck it, Jeremiah thought, and left.
The middle balding servant, Rurmyrd, and Albalm waited for them near the servant's quarters door. The servant gave them their reward, and Rurmyrd and Albalm escorted them through town. Jeremiah stopped in front of the Wolf's Head Tavern and told the others to wait for him at Ashford's Gate. He passed Willibog's head, already beginning to rot, as he entered. Steldwill gave the craftsman paper, quill, and ink. Jeremiah wrote a letter to Duke Haggard of Moulderwood, letting him know what happened in Ashford. He affixed the letter with the Keller family seal, a blue shield on a silver plane with red diamonds. I'll give it to the courier next time he passes through, Steldwill said, taking the note. Thanks for all your help. Jeremiah would have frowned, but he had a merchant's face, so he betrayed no emotion. Jeremiah would have said,
I'm sorry I couldn't do more. Try not to die.
But he had a merchant's tongue, so he said,
The pleasure was all mine.
14. Rurmyrd and Albalm waited with Cedra and Zevo at the gate. Ethermel, like Jeremiah, stopped at the Wolf's Head Tavern, muttering about buying a nag from a Dwan. No one spoke, but Cedra saw the concern in Romeo's eyes. He likely wanted to ask why the troubadour was leaving with the Witcher, with a mutant who would kill her if someone paid him to. Simple, Cedra thought. I want to live, and if I stay here, I'll die, and if I leave with the rest of the refugees, I'll die. With him and that map, I've got a better chance to live. Cedra didn't want to think on it anymore, so she strummed her lute and started composing her ballad. Murder in the streets, murder in the streets. With one command, he let the troll wreak havoc in your streets, exchanging shinies for treats, a wild deer or sheep, your coin into the pockets of the lord he did sneak. When she finished, Zevo fished a few coins from his pocket and handed it to her. Cedra took it. We may not have the most respected professions, Zevo said, but we should get paid when we do good work. Cedra looked to the sun rising over the Blue Mountains. And did we do good work here, Zevo? The Witcher shrugged. We did what we could. Cedra continued playing.
That'll do it for this episode of Tales from the Witcher. This podcast is written and produced by Jacob Gerstel. The Witcher novels are by Andrzej Sapkowski. The Witcher games are by CD Projekt Red. And The Witcher tabletop RPG is by R. Talsorian Games. The music is by Eric Matias at soundimage.org. Be sure to leave a rating and a review, and to spread the word of this podcast far and wide. You can follow the podcast at TalesWitcherPod on X, or at talesfromthewitcher.buzzsprout.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you again next week.